At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we're going to talk sport and we're going to preview the All-Ireland Senior Football Final with Tommy Rooney, GAA correspondent for Bar Media, and James O'Donoghue, former Kerry footballer, both hosts of the football pod on Off the Ball. Good morning and welcome, guys.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, if you were on the moon last week and you arrived back in time for the hurling final, you'd be saying, where's Limerick? Where's Kilkenny? And you wouldn't have found them. You'd have Cork and Clare. So this week, you arrive back from the moon and you're saying, where's Dublin? Where's Mayo? Where's Kerry? And we're not going to find them. We're going to find Armagh and Galway. So what kind of fare are you expecting, James?
Well, it's a strange feeling, right? Not having Kerry anywhere involved for me. Completely pressure off. Nice to enjoy the game as from a personal point of view. But from a spectacle, I think it's going to be just a carnival of noise and colour. Like I was at the semi-final with Kerry and Armagh. The Armagh fans, they are just so hungry for it. They outnumber Kerry supporters so easily. There was an orange wall in the hill. You know, they were just really getting behind their team. They're so excited to be back in the big time for the first time in 19 years. And in Galway, the same. They lost 2 years ago, so they're going to be baying for blood as well. You know, both sides are just so thirsty for success. So I think it's just going to be a real carnival atmosphere and both sets of supporters just are going to be buzzing for it.
Tommy?
First time since 2010, Pat, that none of Dublin, Mayo or Kerry in an All-Ireland final. So as James said, it's a novel pairing. It's funny, in Kerry, when they're not in the All-Ireland final, it's like football never happened. Down in Kerry this weekend, they have club championship. So James will be in action for his club on Saturday. It got moved. So the second that Armagh won the last, James put his hand on his head in Croke Park beside me and said, oh no, club in 2 weeks. They moved it forward. So it's amazing. Like you mentioned the hurling at the weekend between Clare and Cork.
That
and
was heart-stopping stuff.
Oh, it was off the charts, Pat. It was absolutely remarkable. The drama, the chaos, the tension, the skill. Magic.
Now, your adopted county is Clare, so that's it. Set your blood pumping, I'd say.
Yeah, you know Schieffer very well. Yeah. She was in the car with me and her mum and we were going up the road the last day. We left at 6:30 in the morning. A couple of Clare fans on the road on the way up, but they took over Croke Park. It was unbelievable. And the celebrations all week. Not sure if you'd be chatting to John Duggan, but he enjoyed the celebrations all week. Yeah. I know his family are all from Clare and just it's amazing. Do you know what? They really appreciated it because it doesn't come around too often.
So is this the kind of criticism of Kerry that, spoilt over the years?
Too many wins. Too many wins. Well, I don't know about that, but I think that has been something that's been brought up over the last couple of weeks. I know Jack O'Connor said it in his interview after the game that just look at all the supporters Armagh have for the semi-final and we've basically nobody. So I think it is nice for a novel pairing, you said, to really embrace the final and to see the full throngs of sport because it's
now,
nice to change.
You guys are the experts. So looking at the two squads, where are the strengths and weaknesses and on paper, who should take it?
James, it's going to be tough. Like we've been trying to figure this out the last couple of weeks in the football pod. Like
they've drawn more often than any other teams recently. So
and they're so well matched.
And what about the chronicle of injuries from Galway?
It's been off the charts.
Is it real or is it?
It has been real, 100%. But I don't know whether it's just the fact that Galway are openly talking about it. You know, like I don't know whether maybe that's the thing, and it's just so obvious. But like James will tell you now, an All Ireland final, regardless of what's wrong with you, and you've had your injury problems over the year. If you can get right in any way, you'll be on the field. So I think both teams will have as many players as they can out there. But like their key players, Walsh and Comer, Sean Kelly, questions about them the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Walsh and Comer are the main ones that need to get on the field. But Sean Kelly is Galway's inspirational leader. Now, he's been carrying an injury for a long time. The thing with an All-Ireland final is, do you start someone like Sean Kelly and risk him being injured, losing him, and the crowd kind of thinking, oh, our captain's coming off? Or do you save him, bring him on and get that kind of a fresh impetus of he's
and,
here.
And what happens to the team when an iconic player is taken off?
I think it's a drain. And I think even the crowd feels it at times. You know, like sometimes when you're playing, you don't actually notice some of that stuff going on because you're so caught up in the next incident. But the crowd definitely feel it and you get a little bit of a downer. Whereas in stark contrast, you see someone like Soupy Campbell coming on for Armagh, and the crowd, there's an excitement, a giddiness into the crowd, and everyone knows, right, it's on here. So I think there's a big difference in taking off one of your best players and bringing on. You know, it's a big emotional difference.
You could, of course, do what Tyrone did 21 years ago. Start Peter Canavan, God as he's known.
Yeah.
Take him off and bring him back on to kick the winning free. You know, that could be a way of doing it too, you know. But I think we'll see a lot of this at the weekend.
So you're sitting on the fence, the pair of you.
Well, I called a draw 2 weeks ago, and I'm sitting with that.
You called a draw. Now, the controversy over, and it wasn't really a controversy because the rule was there, that were it to be level at full time, there would be extra time played, but not penalties at the end.
No, this is kind of the new season that we've had for the last couple of years, and we won't get into it right now because there's a lot to talk about there. But it is in place that in finals, there are replays after extra time. So after a draw and extra time, you've played in All-Ireland finals that's been drawn and gone to extra time, and it's a weird feeling. It's you get up so high for these things, I imagine, and then there's the deflation.
The final that we had in 19 that was drawn went straight to replay.
It did, but they changed the rules.
They changed it after that. So this is new.
Well, a lot of the complaints are, how can I afford to spend another few hundred euro to get myself and my partner or whatever to Crow Park?
There's an element to that, Pat, but I think what we're seeing this year with the four counties, Clare, Cork, Armagh and Galway, they're all so hungry for success and to win something and to enjoy the madness of it all that I don't think the GAA are going to have to worry about that. If it's a replay, they'll sell it out once more.
Right. I think they did a good thing in not putting penalties on the first day as well, because say if it's drawn it goes to extra time, that's perfect. But Armagh have lost three absolutely huge games on penalties, an Ulster final and two All Ireland quarters. So if they were to lose this by a penalty shootout, it would just be absolute heartbreak beyond belief. So at least the penalties aren't till the replay if it does go that far.
All right, well, look, all to look forward to, and just a cautionary note for the Armagh fans: win, lose, or draw going back, avoid the tunnel. I was coming in from the airport when they were trying to get back and the traffic was mayhem. But mind you, Drumcondra wasn't much better, I'm told. Anyway, James O'Donoghue, former Kerry senior footballer, co-host of the football pod with the Bauer media correspondent for GA, co-host of the football pod, Tommy Rooney. Thank you both very much for joining us. Ger Gilroy is standing by. I believe he's in the Irish Cultural Centre at the moment in Paris. Ger, good morning.
Hi, Pat. How are you? A little postcard from Paris. The Irish have brought the weather. It's overcast. It's cloudy. It's a grand soft day, as they would say.
A grand soft day. What is the forecast for this evening, though, when the opening ceremony will happen out of doors, always out of doors, I suppose, but on the Seine?
Yeah, exactly. It's a wild moonshot by the organisers and the people who've created it to take it out of the stadium. It's the first time it's ever happened. And I think the weather is due to play ball. It will be overcast, but it will be dry. That is the most recent forecast. And what's going to happen is thousands of athletes will float on boats down the River Seine. Some of the most famous athletes in the world, Coco Gauff and LeBron James, are the flag bearers for the Americans. And in the next hour or so, we expect to find out who the Irish flag bearers are going to be. Roughly about 20 Irish athletes are going to take the boat. They didn't actually want to be part of this because they're focused on the events. For example, the swimmers and the boxers and the rowers are all in action this weekend. And Reese McClenaghan is underway as well tomorrow night. So they won't be part of the ceremony tonight, we don't expect. But the runners, for example, they probably have another week to prepare for it. Maybe some of the rugby players now that they're not in a medal game tomorrow evening, they might take the opportunity to take part in it as well. And it does promise to it, like Lady Gaga is playing, Celine Dion is playing. And obviously, all they need to do is come out of it saying we were better than London 2012.
Now, we got the bad end of the draw, really, in the rugby sevens. Ireland were absolutely brilliant. The fact that Fiji, who are the Olympic champions, took them in the end, but it was by no means a foregone conclusion.
No, I think you're dead right. I think, and in fairness, they didn't complain about the draw, but we definitely got done. Like, I have to say, yesterday night in Stade de France was one of the truly great atmospheres that I've ever experienced. The French were playing Argentina, and obviously there's massive controversy between the two countries at the moment. So the French fans have been booing Argentina, the football team earlier the day before, and the rugby team. And then, of course, the two teams come up against each other, and the atmosphere was absolutely incredible. So that was the game before Ireland, where there'd been a bit of an upset. I think people expected Argentina to actually beat France. Dupont didn't start. He comes off the bench and scores with a swan dive at the last minute. I don't think people at home got to watch it, which is really unfortunate, because it was one of those moments where you go, this is a proper sport. And when it's played at this level, it's really nail-biting. And then Ireland come out and have a disastrous start, which was kind of how their game against New Zealand had finished. So you thought, oh, this is pretty bad. But then they scored three tries in a row. Andy Ward's son, Zach Ward, was one of the standout performers. He scored the third try with a beautiful bit of ballet and brute force combined. And you thought, actually, maybe we're going to do this. The 15 games in a row at the Olympic Games, Fijians were staring down the barrel of defeat. And then there was a slightly controversial second try that they scored from a kickoff where they scored two tries in basically a minute. And Ireland just couldn't get back over the line. But you're right, we were the second or third best team in the group through the stages, and we end up playing the very best team. And exactly, no medal. So heartbreak for them.
Okay, so the sports will come thick and fast now. Over the weekend, what are we expecting? I mean, we know, I think rowing is tomorrow morning at 11.
Yeah. So badminton first up for the early risers from an Irish perspective. And both of our badminton entries are playing tomorrow. And then on Saturday night, Reece McClenahan. I think everybody should be getting on the Reece McClenahan bandwagon. So it's a qualifier tomorrow for Reece. The final is later on. But if you're going to start getting into the gymnastics, do it early, because Simone Biles may be in her last Olympic Games as well. And that's the great thing about this, is that like you can choose to watch the world's best golfers if you want for 3 or 4 days struggling around La Nationale. You can watch the best basketball team that's ever been assembled play. And actually, the French believe that their teenage sensation, Wemby, is going to put it up to LeBron James. So, from an Irish perspective, a load of the Irish boxers ended up yesterday in a quite convoluted draw, getting byes. So a few of them in action over the weekend. But then as the week goes on, the big guns from an Irish boxing perspective will roll into focus as well.
All right. This time next week, we'll probably be previewing the athletics, which is still more than a week away. Ger, all the sporting activity this weekend, the Belgian Grand Prix. I'm not sure how many eyes will be on that in Spa-Francorchamps.
Yeah, I think the situation with the Grand Prix is that we still have one standout driver, and he's won half the races, but unfortunately there hasn't been a rival who's won any more than one to put it up to him. So it does look like we know probably more than likely who the world champion and constructors championship is going to go to. I haven't seen the forecast for Spa, but sometimes the weather makes that particularly interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Rain generally falls at some point over the weekend. All right, Ger Gilroy, who's in the Irish Cultural Centre on the Rue des Irlandais, the Taoiseach will be arriving there shortly. Ger, thank you very much for joining us. Back to James and Ger, Olympic sports that you'll be watching?
I think, Pat, once it settles and the football championship is over, there's a ladies' football final the week after and then the Camogie final the week after that. So I think next week might get a little bit of a chance to take in some of the Olympics and follow the coverage a bit more. The GA season has just been so crazy.
Yeah. James?
Oh, the track. I love seeing the track. There's actually a great documentary on Netflix at the moment called Sprint.
I'm watching it.
I can't wait to watch that. Just to familiarise myself again with all the athletes. But yeah, the track and field is the best. I love the track races.
They really caught the nation there the last couple of weeks as well. So I think we have such great hopes with our Irish athletes there.
All right. Well, look, looking forward to it all. Officially opening tonight, but already some of the action underway. Thanks to Ger and thanks to James and Tommy as well.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.